Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Uh-oh, somebody got too much sleep.
Oh.
Usually that doesn't make for a good show. Generally, when I've slept about 2 hours, that's when things go the best around here.
And isn't that most nights?
Yeah. I went to bed yesterday around noon.
What time did you wake up? One?
No, I got up this morning regular time. I will be seeing the world's greatest grandchild later today, Abigail Grace. So, you know, I had to get some extra sleep in because I tell you, the 19-month-olds are quick. They're wiry. They get around.
Does she nap? And
yeah.
Do you nap when she naps?
Not so much.
Okay.
But she's got a great first step, as we say in sports, and her lateral movements are strong.
Mm-hmm.
At 6:10, before we get to the top six, the President of the United States has tweeted something this morning that I find particularly odd. Now, you may be saying, Steve, come on. We're talking about POTUS here. He tweeted something you find odd? I'm going to read it to you. It's a retweet. Now, when we retweet, we are either confirming something that we agree with, that we'd like other people to see, people that follow us, or we're going to quote tweet, and the quote tweet would be a comment positively or negatively on said tweet that we are retweeting. Any questions so far?
I don't think so.
All right. This is from Fox and Friends. I want you to let that set it. This is from Fox and Friends. The President of the United States retweeted the following. U.S. spy satellites detect North Korea moving anti-ship cruise missiles to patrol boat. I'm going to ask a simple question. Shouldn't he already know that?
Right.
Shouldn't he know or not know that? He shouldn't be getting foreign intelligence from a show called Fox and Friends.
And then retweeting the information like it's secondhand.
Well, maybe he's trying to let them know that he knows that we know that they know.
So you're saying maybe he knows that Kim Jong-un doesn't know, so he wants Kim Jong-un to know that he knows what we know by retweeting what Fox and Friends knows.
Exactly.
President of the United States, U.S. spy satellites detect North Korea moving anti-ship cruise missiles to patrol boat. I think I remember General Eisenhower tweeting. did he tweet at one point? Here come the Japs and the Germans. Didn't he tweet that at one point?
Do you think he also knows how much wood a woodchuck could chuck if a woodchuck could chuck?
Oh, not again.
That tweet will be later, though I have had several people stop me in the last couple of weeks and ask me about the woodchuck moment on the show.
Right.
Yeah. All right. I just wanted to start the show with that little disturbing content from the president. At 6:13, let's do the top six at six.
Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Well, let's start with this. Chicago Public Schools have announced massive layoffs. What are we talking, 1,000 people? Was that the number?
Yes. 670, I believe, was the number.
Okay, well, that's better than 1,000.
Yes.
And CPS says it will delay a budget proposal to give the state more time to act on funding. Now, this, in fact, to me, is irresponsible by CPS.
Mm-hmm.
Because CPS now is increasing the stress on their own system, on their teachers, their parents, their students.
Yes.
There's nothing that you needed to change about your budget proposal that you wouldn't have already known.
Right. So, let me reclarify the number. I said 600 staffers, about 100 high school teachers and 200 elementary school teachers.
As well?
So it is closer to 800, 900, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a lot.
It is a lot.
Yes. So that's the standing of where your schools are this morning. And we talked to a lot of people on and off the air, on and off the record. I am in no way sure that the schools are going to open on time. You know, the mayor came in here and he said to our face, the city schools will open on time because of the loan, because they have the money, mm-hmm. and so on and so on. Pardon me if I don't have incredible confidence in our city, state, and federal governments at this point. An attorney for Northwestern University professor, the professor, suspected in the stabbing death of a 26-year-old Chicago man, says his client will plead not guilty to murder charges. Here's the quote. Since the beginning of this case, the defense has received dozens of calls and letters in support of Dr. Latham from friends and colleagues who have known him for decades. They all describe him the same way, a kind, intelligent, and gentle soul and a loyal and trusted friend. What he is accused of is totally contrary to the way he's lived his entire life. Having said that, when the knife handle is found in his apartment, when the bloody body is found in his apartment, when he and his colleague made a donation in the name of the victim, and then when he supposedly did a Facebook video for his friend saying it's the worst mistake of his life, I'm going to go out on a limb. That's not going to help you in court.
No, I don't think so.
That's a lot of evidence.
It is a lot of evidence. He's since, of course, been fired as well by this university.
Seems like a strong move.
Yep.
Yeah, great move. This could hurt tenure.
Big time.
I don't know. I get it. I get it from a legal perspective. You know, murderers all the time plead not guilty, and then they plan for their case.
Sure.
But this guy, is there anything that indicates this guy didn't kill him?
Doesn't appear to be that way. We don't want to try it in the media.
There's also a heinous part of this that's developing, just the way that the victim
was
killed.
What do you mean, more heinous?
Well, they're describing this murder now as mutilation.
Yeah, I heard that.
So who knows what we're going to learn more about this coming out.
I mean, but accidental mutilation by a kind and gentle soul.
It seems like a stretch.
Item number three, the average temperature of the United States has risen rapidly since 1980. Can you tell me how much the temperature has risen since 1980? Let me go to you, Andre.
By degrees, you want? Mm-hmm. I would say at least 15 degrees.
15 degrees?
Mm-hmm.
That's a little high. Dave?
I would say two or three, maybe three.
Well, he's building off my answer now.
I'm going with one.
Because you know it's too high.
It's between 1 and 2 degrees since 1980, depending on the scientific study you read. Now, you're saying big deal. Well, it is a big deal, friends. It is a big deal because the warming of the atmosphere and the temperatures that coincide with it change weather patterns and change climatological conditions that don't just affect the polar bears. Now, having said that, I have canceled my Antarctica vacation. Because you know,
Antarctica might not be there?
Well, because most of Antarctica is floating in separate directions, apparently, at this point. A giant iceberg the size of Delaware broke off recently. There is a smaller iceberg. Iceberg! Dead ahead! There's a smaller iceberg that could break off that will actually have bigger problems because of the path it's on and the depth under the water that it is, which create a larger wake, which creates greater flooding, blah, blah, blah.
Did you see the Ag Department yesterday decided to ban the word climate change, and they want to call it weather extreme? So in all memos and everything that come out now from the Ag Department, you can't say climate change.
To make it more impactful. Or to take it out of the political realm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Weather extremes or resilience to weather.
Recent decades have been the warmest of the past 1,500 years. Here's what I need to hear, though. Because, again, I was a doubter for a long time. I'm not a doubter anymore. Haven't been for a long time, but I was for a long time. What are we going to do about it? Okay? What are we going to do about it? That's the question. Because even the folks that are the most fervent climate change zealots, if you will, what's your answer?
Well, and here's the scary part of that. Here's the scary answer. The National Climate Assessment, which is just out and may not be released by the Trump administration but was leaked to the New York Times, the scientists all agree that there's really nothing we can do. Even if we started right now changing our doing the most extreme things we could possibly do to fix this, it would not stop where we're headed in a big way.
So we slow it down.
We would slow it down.
We would slow it down. That's the point of the Paris Accords. That's the point of the other potential efforts we have. Again, I always bring it back to the same thing. You know, when Mike Jacobson and you, of course, in your early 30s.
Yes, they did.
And Jacobson, when you guys were growing up, Dave and I and Mary, and also Steve, though he was young and immature at that point, we would watch people throw trash out of cars.
It's awful.
We never even considered recycling. Nobody recycling.
No.
And if it wasn't for our generation of kids who forced us to recycle because they were taught that at school, it wouldn't have happened. Okay, recycling's made a big difference.
It absolutely has.
So we can't fix it, but we could help stem the problem. But we need a plan. It's just bitching at this point. It's bitching from people saying, we're all going to die tomorrow. Grab a polar bear, ride him into the sunset, and people on the other side going, it's a hoax, and Rush Limbaugh is right.
And if you don't believe us, believe Tom Skilling, because he was just like you years ago. He said, well, I was skeptical, and he's held conferences now saying, this is real. This is legit.
Let me tell you something about Tom Skilling. Always believe Tom Skilling. Yeah. He'll rub you out. Mm-hmm. He knows people.
Weather mafia.
President Trump called Rich and Blumenthal a phony Vietnam con artist. This would probably have more weight if he, in fact, didn't take four or five deferments himself, including bad feet, as his last one. Veterans around the country jumped on Twitter yesterday to slam the president for his own lack of service and the temerity to go ahead and rip Blumenthal. Not a Republican thing or a Democrat thing. It's an American thing.
And it's ridiculous.
Remember last week when we told you Netflix was $20 billion in debt?
Yeah.
They're still buying stuff. Netflix bought Miller World, a comic book publisher. Now, the story reads, this is their first ever acquisition. I don't know what type of acquisition, because they certainly bought ownership rights to thousands of projects. That's how you get $20 billion in debt, that and infrastructure. But Netflix brought, I guess it's Millar World. I'm not familiar with them.
Never heard of
it. I just think if you're $20 billion in debt, maybe you don't get the new color TV.
Right.
Maybe you don't get the new car right now. Maybe you need to be a little more careful. That's all.
Well, okay, what? I'm trying to figure out, are you supposed to read the comic books while you're watching Netflix? Or are they just diversifying?
Maybe they put the comic books on Netflix.
On Netflix. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then you turn your head to the left and the page flips.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
They could also make shows out of the comic books.
Yeah, from Millar World. Do you know Millar? You're a comic book guy.
I'm not. No, I'm actually.
Oh,
not.
Please! I saw you and Sheldon at the comic book store.
Sheldon, Mark Millar, apparently it says, wrote a number of comic books, including Old Man Logan and Civil War, and they were already brought to the silver screen as Captain America: Civil War.
Thank God we've gotten to the bottom of this story as well. Bachelorette's over. Rachel picked Brian. Who's Brian?
Who's Rachel?
Oh man, I spent 3 hours of my life last night. Watching.
Why?
You'll never get that back.
Awful.
Why?
Finale. She should not have picked Brian. He was a dud. And she should have went with Peter with her heart, but she didn't. And now, they won't last.
Mike Jacobson brought up a good point in my ear a second ago. He said, does the rose die if it takes 3 hours to do the show?
Oh, man.
It's a fair question.
It's got one of those little plastic water things on the end.
The only thing good about it was watching the, they were in Spain, so we got to see all the landscape.
Okay.
That was the only exciting thing.
Did the African-American dude make the final?
He got cut. There were three left, and he was the first one gone.
Okay, because what I saw online about
Loved
this
him.
In the few seconds that I had to waste
yes.
my time that I'll never get back was that there was some feeling that she felt pressured to have a black man as part of her finals as opposed to just a bunch of white guys.
Yeah. Could be. I don't know. He was the only
African-American
left.
If you said to me, here's $100, go watch it, I wouldn't do it.
No, me neither.
I can't do it.
Have any of these stories ended happily, by the way? Have any of these
Did somebody stay married?
Trista.
Juan Pablo just got married, and he was the biggest jerk on the show, but he didn't marry a bachelor.
Dave, weren't you and Karen married on The Bachelor?
We were one of the first. That was like 200 seasons ago in Bachelor years. But no, there was a guy, maybe it's Trista, the one you just mentioned.
Trista. Yeah, Brian and
because they were on. He was
kids.
On American Ninja Warrior
That's
last
right.
week.
Oh yeah, they're great. Yeah. They're still married.
But she was
kids.
One of. They were one of the original.
Right.
So you're telling me that contestants are now trading for other shows?
Apparently.
Stop it.
Oh, yeah.
Now that think about that. That would be a combination of The Bachelor and American Ninja Warrior, where to like get a date, you have to complete the Ninja
Bachelor
Warrior.
Bachelor Ninja Warrior.
And
there
you know where they all end up on that cooking show too. That celebrity cook-off, they all appear on there. So then they'd have to like cook
a meal.
So we're
running out of
people. No, they cook the rose.
We're running out of people with no pride and no self-worth who will go on TV for no reason whatsoever.
Right.
Time for Bachelor in Paradise.
So there's really only six contestants for all the reality shows, and they just get rotated through all the shows.
They all trade off.
Yeah. Oh, they do.
Top 6 brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Here is Mary with the traffic trouble spots. Jay Cutler has arrived in Miami. Let's go live to Dave on South Beach right now, where Dave is. I can't say I'm wrong about this. Dave's never looked better in his thong and muscle shirt.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, so Jay Cutler has arrived in Miami. Mm-hmm. He will not play in the first preseason game. But are the people of Miami excited? The folks you've talked to, the man on the street interviews.
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. That wasn't me.
It was a good interview.
That wasn't me. Yeah. No, I think it's very. I think it's very mixed. Apparently, a lot of fans here in South Florida, Steve, were hoping that the Dolphins would bring in Colin Kaepernick.
Hmm. Well, it's interesting.
They're a little concerned about some of Cutler's problems with ball security in the past.
Well, now, he has had a habit in the past of throwing it to the other team.
Yes.
And generally speaking, in football, we don't want that. We want you to throw it to our guys.
Mm-hmm. So it usually works better.
In this case, he would throw it to the guys dressed like Miami Vice extras. So, wearing the pastel, the Sandberg pastels, is that what the colors are? Salmon?
No.
Salmon.
It's like turquoise.
Jade. Turquoise.
Yeah,
turquoise.
Teal. A lot of teal.
Throw
teal,
it to the teal and turquoise. Mm-hmm. All right.
I just want to let you know that his wife, Kristen, she Instagrammed a picture of them kissing, sending him off, taken by their son, Cam, and she's very excited for her man to take on this next challenge in Miami.
How old is Cutler?
34. Here was his quote.
He should be, honestly, he should be in the prime of his career.
Absolutely.
Right now.
NFL quarterbacks who survive to their mid-30s, from that point on, assuming they have any semblance of an offensive line in front of them, those guys are at the height of their careers,
right,
and play the best. And the guys who make it past 40, I mean, Tom Brady's 40, but guys who, you look back in history, guys who've played into their 40s, have usually had pretty... Steve DeBerg is an example.
Well, there's two classes, right? The guys in their 40s are either the legends of the game, mm-hmm, or the greatest backups of all time.
The journeymen.
Who have thrived and survived.
Yep, and they've managed to make it to that point. But here was the quote that has, I think, taken everybody by surprise. The good thing is I play quarterback, so I don't have to be in that great cardiovascular shape. Jay Cutler.
Kind of
October 7th.
Are you in right now? How long do you think it's going to take?
Well, the good thing is I play quarterback, so I don't really have to be in that great of cardiovascular shape. But I'll be fine. Adam knows kind of what I've been up to, so we'll figure it out along the way.
Here's the thing about Cutler. You can tell me if I'm wrong, but I believe I'm right because I normally do. Jay Cutler is a guy that is not as funny as he thinks he is. And he's very sarcastic, and he'll say things, but because his expression never changes,
mm-hmm,
you think he means it at the time, but I think a lot of the time he's trying to be funny. When he made, I think he was...
I think you're right.
He was making fun of himself.
He was. Yeah, he was a little self-deprecating.
It comes across as, right, you know, he's a fat guy and he doesn't care because he's quarterback.
But it's that...
NFL fat, by the way.
It's that sense of him, Steve, I think, that appealed to Fox. And they saw that he's got this sort of ability to say things that could be taken as kind of amusing if he can learn to present it maybe a little differently.
His wife says he has the best butt in football. So
the best what?
Butt.
Well, it's great
that she loves his butt.
You saw the memes, right? The memes with him with the shot from the beach in Mexico.
When he's naked on the deck.
Except now he's in the stadium there. On the sidelines, the Dolphins game.
So you can quantify the amount of time wasted on Photoshop.
No question.
Developing
memes. I'm confused. Does this mean I can't play quarterback in my condition?
Yes. Yes. Right. Let me clear it up for you. Right. Yes.
You're not in great cardiovascular shape either?
Okay. No. That's what it means. All right. Stand by. We got to get the Kid of the Week coming up. You know what we need to do? We need to pitch for more Kids of the Week.
Yeah, we do.
I'm going to tell you about that coming up, too.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Kid of the Week from Allstate, where every week we honor kids doing great things. They don't ask for the publicity. We insist they take it. Allstate believes good starts young and works towards inspiring the next generation of leaders to reach their full potential and make the world a better place through service. Nominate a kid for the Allstate Kid of the Week, a kid you would like us to feature here, and recognize youth for doing good things. They're going to win Amazon gift cards, Lou Malnati's Pizza. But if they're between 9 and 18, they can be the Kid of the Week. And who are we looking for, Andre? Who are we looking for Kid of the Week?
Well, are we looking for all kinds of kids? They can do anything. They can start a bake sale. They can do anything, volunteer. They can change the world, which many of them have done. In fact, we have a quick update. Our friend Ace got to play. Ace Henry was our kid of the week last year. He got to play with the American National Football Team in Miami. He's back. He said he's sore, but feeling good.
How old's that kid now?
He is about 13 now.
Today I ran into a girl that graduated from college who was a kid of the week.
No.
Yeah, she's a kid of the week 12 years ago, and I'm doing the math in my head. I'm going, 12 years ago, when I was doing the afternoon show.
Right.
And I was thinking, well, 12 years ago would have been 2005. I'd already been here 5 years at that
point. Oh, my God. My goddaughter, Natalie, was one of your first kids of the week. She had cut her hair for locks
for
love.
Yeah, what's she, 45 now?
No, she was, 8 years old at the time? Because I have a picture of her sitting on your lap, like Santa Claus.
Right.
She's 22 now and basically runs a green, eco-friendly foundation.
Well, it's one of the cooler things we get to do here.
Yeah.
So we celebrate kids all the time, like Maddie, who joins us now. Good morning, Maddie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Nice to talk to you. Thanks for getting up.
Yeah, no problem.
Are you out of high school? What are you doing now?
No, I'll actually be entering my senior year next week.
Goof off time! where are you going to go to college, you know?
I'm not sure yet. I really like Northwestern, so hopefully there, but I'm actually beginning the college process pretty much right now.
And your grades, I assume, are pretty great?
I'd say so.
Okay, good. Well, you work at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dave Ennett is here. Dave, you probably know Maddie, is the voice of Northwestern football and basketball and a Northwestern graduate. Dave, when you went to Northwestern in the 30s, what was the admission requirement then? Like you had to have a pencil?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. An abacus.
And an abacus. And an abacus. We didn't have calculators yet.
Right.
Yeah. The SAT hadn't been invented.
Well, Maddie, I wish you luck in all of it. I literally have Maddie's resume. Not because Maddie's looking for a job, but because there's so much stuff that she does, it's almost impossible for me to go through and list it here. National Honor Society, Honors with Distinction, AP Course Studies, Honors Choir, Thespian International Honor Society, vocal student at Northwestern, graduated with honors from St. Clement School, is a creator and leader of the Ronald McDonald House Teen Advisory Board, created the model for all of Illinois' Ronald McDonald House teen boards, handles the Ronald McDonald House Meals from the Heart, volunteer and coordinator there as well, Children's Miracle Network Dance Marathon coordinator for St. Ignatius College Prep, Lurie Children's Hospital social media ambassador, Operation Gratitude ambassador, Headbands for Hope is something she did. We can ask her about that. The Theater Department Executive Board. That's just the beginning. All right, Maddie. Maddie, we're going to need to run some tests on you.
Okay.
We need to find out what planet you're actually from.
I need Maddie's number in case she's our boss someday, which probably will happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, she could do it right now.
Maybe she has a clone
help
her out.
She's sung the national anthem at how many events? Give me just ballpark. How many national anthem events?
Three.
Three, Dave?
I'm going to say six.
50.
No.
I was
going to
say 50.
We're
50.
A little low.
Get out of town.
50 of it. Actually, over 50, including a Cubs game. This is one of my favorite facts about you that I noticed. You're a skilled yodeler.
Yes.
I'd like to hear you yodel right now, if you would, please. And keep in mind, Maddie, I haven't asked for much.
It's pretty early, but I'll try my best.
All right, here we go. Maddie Mazzella yodeling.
Fantastic. Nice job.
You have achieved the long-awaited sitting ovation because of your incredible yodeling. And you also worked at the Miss Illinois organization as well.
Yes, I'm currently Miss Illinois' outstanding teen with the Miss America's outstanding teen organization.
Oh, my gosh, that's fantastic. Okay.
Okay, so terrific student.
Right.
Obviously hasn't slept since middle school.
Yeah.
Continues this on. Where's the energy come from, Annie?
I'm just a pretty energetic person. I always have been. That's the way I was raised. I really like doing things. I'm not one of those people who can really sit around. I like to make sure I'm constantly improving myself and bettering the world around me. So I guess I get my energy from just a motivation to do better and to constantly be improving myself.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I do. I have one older brother, a younger brother, and a younger sister.
Do they know that you're your parents' favorite? That's unbelievable. It really is one of the most amazing lists of kids' stuff that I have ever seen.
Yeah, easily.
And it goes on and on and on.
Do you feel like all of our accomplishments just kind of pale in comparison?
Well, here's my concern, Maddie, because we're trying to get, we're trying to get, because a lot of times adults will listen to this and they'll go, well, I got a kid, but I don't know if the kid's up for the standards of kid of the week, and then they put it off and they don't send in submission. So we're actually down in submissions right now. We know there's tons of great kids out there, so we're pitching for kids to send those submissions in to WGNRadio.com. However, Maddie, I believe you've ruined it for everyone.
Yeah.
I don't believe that anyone else will now send in a kid because the kid can't compete with you. That's how impressive this is.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, I'm very impressed. And listen, we have for you the only things that we can give you at this time, which is the sitting ovation, an Amazon gift card, Lou Malnati's pizza, and I've stolen Rokon's checkbook, so I'm going to pay for your college tuition when you decide where you're going to go.
Yes.
Perfect.
Hey, can we ask Maddie, you auditioned, you were in an Allstate production, right, for the state, and you're waiting for a callback?
No, I actually, so update on that.
Okay.
I'm the first person alongside my friend Natalie to make 3 Allstate musicals in a row.
Uh-huh.
So I actually am playing the part of Jenny Hill in Big Fish.
You got the gig?
Yes.
Oh.
Well,
there we go.
Well, how shocked are we that she booked it? Yeah. What do you think you want to do, Maddie, beyond college? Any idea?
I do want to be an actress, but obviously that's a pretty tough industry, so... I'm still looking for a solid backup plan, but that's been the dream since I was younger.
You thought about first female president?
Maybe.
I mean, hopefully we'll get one before you turn 35, but still.
Yeah.
Well, you're very impressive, and as your brothers and sisters sleep late, here you are up on the radio with us and allowing us to brag about you. But thanks for all the good things you're doing for everybody, and it's, and particularly thanks for all the help with the Ronald McDonald House. You know how important that is, but anytime we get a chance to talk about those guys, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, anybody you want to say hi to?
Hi to all my friends and family, and to all my Miss America's Outstanding Teen sisters.
Okay. Aww. Not that this should matter, but there's clearly not a dopey boyfriend in the picture here slowing you down, right?
No way.
Ah, there you go. All right. All right, hold the line. Plenty of time for that down the road. Do you want me to tell you the other stuff?
Yeah, I'm just thinking of everything she's done in, what, 10 years?
You want to hear her yodel again?
And everything we've done in 30?
Let's get her to yodel.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Hey, Maddie, will you yodel one more time for us?
Of course.
All right, Wendy, where you are.
All right.
That is so good.
You know, that alone might get Maddie into Northwestern.
That's Yodeler of the Week. That's a different
yodel. Yes.
Yeah. And before we let you go, Maddie, which of your brothers and sisters gets most annoyed when you yodel?
Oh, my goodness. I try to keep the yodeling to a minimum, but probably my older brother. He's had to deal with it the longest.
What's his name?
Davey.
Is he still living home?
No.
Okay, when he comes home and he's sleeping late, I want you to go in and yodel and say, Mr. Cochran told me to do that.
Definitely will.
All right, Maddie, hold on. How about that kid?
I want to say thank you for talking to us.
Yeah. How about squeezing us into your schedule?
I'm exhausted.
Yeah, exactly. Listen to her.
That's just unbelievable.
She's awesome.
There's not enough. 24 hours isn't enough time for all this.
Well, you kept reading off the accomplishments, and I thought, well, the list has to end at some point. And then she got the callback that was at the bottom. It said, oh, she's waiting to hear back. She already got the gig.
By the way, she also played travel soccer for 10 years.
Oh, yeah. In her spare time?
Doesn't she go to school?
Yeah, she got phenomenal grades.
How is she going to do all that? And
what planet is she from?
Wow.
6:53. I'm going to have a talk with Abigail Grace later and say, let me tell you something, young lady.
Get her going early. Teach the yodeling.
Sandberg, I have to salute you and your entire team of staffers for finding Maddie and the Kid of the Week.
Nothing but the best for the Steve Cochran Show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What else is going on?
On the opposite end of a spectrum, we were having a discussion with the kids last night, and Patrick has this thing. He's 10, and he has this thing called a puppy pillow. And it's like a
Which a pillow shaped like a puppy?
Yeah, it kind of looks like a half circle. I think kids have them. They come in different animals. He's always had one, and he's had two, one at mom's house, one at dad's house. And
I have a My Pillow shaped like an aardvark.
Since I didn't raise little kids, you know, I met Catherine when they were Catherine and Patrick when they were 9 and 6.
Okay,
I can criticize things that happened before because that's the position I'm in.
Well, that and the fact that you're judgmental and direct.
Correct. Like things like I've always been heard or whatever. Mind you, I never had an infant in my house that. You teach them to need things, these children. Oh, they need the fan on. They need to be rocked. They need to get in our bed.
Probably largely true.
Right.
Well, so beyond a certain point. Yeah. To a certain point, it's about what they actually need, and then it's about what you need them to need. I would agree with that.
So Patrick's one pillow, they were just east with their mom and their family, and somebody has a dog, and the dog attacked his puppy pillow. So puppy pillow is, you know, been destroyed.
Did you have a service for it?
No, there was no service. But I told him, yesterday, so we can just get rid of puppy pillow here then, right? Because, like, we're done with puppy pillow. It's 10. You're 10 anyway. Do you really need this pillow to sleep? Yeah. And it was like I suggested maybe, you know, really something horrible. So I think he was thinking along the lines, he's getting a new puppy pillow at mommy's and we're going to keep going.
Can I give you a suggestion? And I mean this because I think I think I did a pretty good job as a dad, even though Ross does act strange now when I want to rock him, you know, because he's 26. Make it his idea. Make it his idea.
I don't think it's going to come up.
Oh, you can. You know, it's just to change the terminology a little bit. Just say, hey, buddy, when do you want to actually not have that pillow? You want to get a new pillow. Mr. Cochran sleeps on a My Pillow.
On a My Pillow, yeah. We saw a My Pillow at Walmart when we were buying baseballs this summer, and he was like, hey, there's the My Pillow. Like, he knows the My Pillow from the commercial.
It might make him feel like a big shot.
Yeah.
Just saying.
By the way,
I know people in the My Pillow business.
All right. Well, maybe we could try that because my approach of saying you're too old to have this crutch of a puppy pillow.
Probably not. Okay. Yeah. I will say this, that his puppy pillow, you could also throw in something that's maybe even more direct. Like, we have tested your puppy pillow. It has rabies.
Flesh eating bugs.
Or they don't sell
them
anymore.
In Australia.
Yeah. They don't sell them anymore.
Yeah, they don't sell them. There's no one anywhere in the world. The kid goes on Amazon 10 seconds later and he finds
it. That's the thing. They find stuff.
Yeah, they do.
All right. 7 o'clock. We'll come back with the news in a second. Amy Guth is going to be on today. They're throwing her out of an airplane.
I know. How about this? With the Golden Knights.
Oh, is that it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I thought she was just being thrown out of an airplane.
No. Well.
All right, so we'll find out.
We'll
coming up on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I had a friend whose brother was a he taught jumping out of airplanes.
Oh, really?
Parachuting. And this friend always wanted me to do it.
You never did it?
Nah, because I believe in the George Carlin theory.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you jump out of a plane that's not broken?
They offer the media rides, you know, during the Air and Water show
they've
every year.
Many they don't ask
I know.
Me.
Me
they
neither.
Don't ask me anymore because I said no so many times.
Me neither. It just always... I like to think I would try anything once, but that just scares the heck out of me.
I would blast into outer space right now. I wouldn't jump out of an airplane.
See, that's funny to me, too, because I wouldn't do either.
Mm.
Wouldn't you be scared to go into space, though?
No.
What if you never come back?
What do you mean?
Well, what if
it's a round trip ticket.
No, I know, but what if you got lost or didn't you see Gravity?
Well, I wouldn't be driving.
Didn't you see Sandra Bullock and George Clooney?
I wouldn't actually be piloting the rocket.
What if you took a...
I'd be in the back going, woo-hoo!
What if you took a spacewalk? Because that'd be part of the experience.
I would take a spacewalk. I would do that.
What if you took a spacewalk and then you're walking and then the thing detaches and you just are floating in infinite...
Wait. What if I could jump and be tethered? Where I could like bungee back into the plane.
But what if
No, I'm talking.
What if the tether breaks though? I mean, there's all kinds of things that could go wrong.
What are you saying, Steve?
Here's the difference. We would say Steve went to space and he is a national hero as opposed to he's an idiot and jumped out of a plane.
Well, you're not wrong. But I don't think idiot's the right term. I think hero and brave is the right term because you know who's gonna do this? Amy Guth.
I know. And you know who did it last year?
Who?
Vic Vaughn.
Vic Vaughn, who joins us right now. Vic, stand by because you may have some advice for Amy. Amy, have you ever done anything like this before?
I have never done anything like this before in my life.
Are you nervous?
I am. You know, I was feeling the fear, let's say, about a week ago, thinking about this. And then yesterday, I just felt like, you know what, I'm just ready to do this. I'm ready to just jump already. And then, you know, I woke up this morning pretty early and I thought, okay, this is happening. I'm back to feeling a little bit nervous.
Well, you're past the point of commitment, right? I mean, now you got to do it.
Yeah, I got to do it. But I've also, you know what, I've also taken it upon myself to learn a lot about skydiving. And I've watched a ton of YouTube videos of people wearing GoPros and seen their point of view. So I feel like I know what to expect a little bit. But I'm also in really good hands because I'm jumping with the Army Golden Knights team. So,
sure,
you know, I feel like if you're going to do it, that's the team to do it with.
Here's the thing, though, about YouTube videos. To me, that's like the WebMD of trouble.
Right, right.
You know, it's like if if you go to WebMD, you're going to get sick.
But
right? Because you're going to go, oh, I've got a twinge in my shoulder. 10 minutes later, you're dying. So I don't know about the YouTube move, but if you found nothing but positive videos, that probably is a good reinforcement.
If you're strapped on the back of an Army Golden Knighter, I think I'd be okay with that.
That's a date.
He or she will be strapped to my back, actually. I'll be in front.
Hey,
I'll
and that's fine. Spoon.
And, you know, I said, you pick someone who has a pet to go home and feed, who really likes their spouse, who has vacation tickets booked, like a lot to live for. That's who I want to jump with.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you don't want anybody that just you don't want anyone that just got dumped.
Right. No, I don't want anyone who had a rough week.
Vic Vaughn's here. Vic, you did this last year?
I did.
And had you jumped when you were in the service?
No, I stayed in the airplanes. I was in the Air Force. And
so
I
you subscribed to the Carlin theory as well. So what caused you to do it last year? Just something you'd never done?
Chris, yeah, the Army the Army contacted us, actually,
yeah.
Steve.
Yeah.
And I joined up to do it, and I jumped with a guy named Christopher Acevedo, goes by Ace, and he was the guy strapped to my back, made me feel very safe.
Well,
I was nervous.
We should get Amy Guth Ace. We should, you know, Ace has a success record.
Yeah, I want Ace.
By the way, you
that guy.
I can contact him, Amy.
There you go.
We
now they're besties.
We stayed in touch.
Yeah, if he's
great
on
guy.
Your back, he should say.
Wait a minute, how do they decide who gets who? Because you're a big guy. You're 6'1".
Yeah, he was, and I'm a little, I've gained a few pounds.
No, you're fine. You. But you're 6'1", so I would assume there's got to be somebody of similar height, or is that wrong?
He was a little shorter than me, Steve.
Oh, he was.
But, you know, I mean, these guys are, they're the best. They're the best in the world.
But, Amy, you're tall. You've got to be, what are you, 5'11", 6 feet?
I'm 5'10". The way I understand it is you want someone whose nose either hits the back of, like the back of your neck or the top of your head, but if it's like right in the middle of your head, you might, you know, break their nose.
That sounds like a good Friday night to me.
So, Amy and Vic, talk to me about the physics of this, because to me, if you've got someone that's a lot shorter, you change the human missile that you become prior to pulling the parachute. Am I overthinking this a little bit, Vic?
Well, I can't really recall the first 10 seconds after jumping out of the plane. It was controlled chaos, Steve. It's an unbelievable feeling.
Do you spin?
No. They control you very well. You don't spin. But the feeling is unbelievable. It was the hardest of the entire experience. It was the hardest physically on my body.
When you jump out, at what point in those 10 seconds do you think, I've made a really terrible decision?
When you're going toward the door, Steve, when they open the door up there is when you start to go, oh, this
super
is
loud?
Real. This is real. Yeah, you feel the pressure, you feel the wind, you hear it, you see that you're above the clouds and there's this huge door open on the side
of
the plane.
And what height do you jump?
I think we were at 14, 15,000 feet.
Oh, my God.
Is that where you're going to be, Amy, or are you going higher?
Yeah, I think I'm right around there, too, somewhere about 15,000 or a little bit higher. Mm-hmm.
I just have to ask you, describe the feeling. Is it like the pit in your stomach on a roller coaster, and do you feel like you're going to throw
up? Okay, that's a good start, but I'm not exaggerating when I say it's around 100 times stronger than that feeling.
Oh, God.
How do you not pass out?
I think I nearly did. Yeah. I'll tell you, Steve, I became a little bit shaky as he was pushing me toward the door. And then here's the hardest part. You put your
feet. Did you pretend your phone was ringing? Hey, I got a call.
You put your toes on the floor of the airplane, and they've got to be about two to three inches hanging over the outside of this plane. You're not holding the side of the door as he is. So you're just standing there with your toes about 2 to 3 inches.
And then what happens? You count it off?
And then he just says 1, 2, 3, and they push you out.
On three or
they
one,
really
two, three,
shove
and then
you?
Jump.
Oh.
If they didn't, tell her. No, but if they didn't shove you, gently push you,
a lot of people
would never go.
I was committed. I would have, but I'm sure a lot of people don't. At that point, yeah, well, this is what he told me. When we were sitting there, he said, "Are you okay?" Because I guess I was breathing a little heavy. He said, "You're breathing a little heavy."
I go, dude, I'm about to jump out of an airplane. Of course I'm breathing a little heavy.
He says, he gets his mouth real close to my ear and whispers, "Vic, you're getting off this plane one way or the other." And
it's all, yeah. 1, 2, 3, go.
So obviously, Amy, the reason they are strapped behind you is so you can see the, see what's coming, right? Or is there a different reason for it?
As far as I know, that's why. I'm not sure, but I think they can probably control things a little bit better. And the parachute is on his back, so I have to just trust. This is an exercise in surrender for me.
Well, you have to, right? You have to assume it's going to go well, or why would you do it?
Right.
Right. I mean, just in case, I put Rick Tupke in charge of my obit, and I said, make sure you use the phrase "queen of all she surveyed." Make sure you use this really flattering photograph. I've got those.
Oh, there's plenty of those of you.
Guth, I'll do the eulogy. I got a lot of good stuff to say about you.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect.
And hopefully, it won't come to that.
I already let station management know that we're going to need wall-to-wall Amy Guth memorial coverage if this goes south.
Well, and there's a line from The Big Chill. I'll come to and I'll bring a date.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
We could probably afford like a minute and a half at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah.
We'll make it a special report.
Yeah,
we'll make it breaking news.
Yesterday mid-morning, I tweeted something like, this time tomorrow, I'm either going to be annoyingly high on adrenaline or a trending topic locally for about a minute. So.
Are you going to be wearing a GoPro?
I am. I'm going to be wearing a GoPro on my head. And then their team will also be, they're going to be recording it as well. So there's going to be many angles, and I can't wait to see. Good thing GoPros are not, maybe there's not great sound going on there, because it might just be me screaming and swearing all the way down.
Yeah.
But
Vic, once the chute is pulled and you get that stable moment and you start to float, it's got to be crazy great, right?
Unbelievably beautiful experience.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've heard different people say different things. So one person said, "I was great until the chute opened, and then I realized how high up I was, and I started to freak out."
I could see that. I could understand that.
But I would think once the chute's open, for like if you enjoy it, like Vic did, you'd want to watch that ride all the way down.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's incredible.
All right, do you want to do it again?
I would do it again in a
You
heartbeat.
Would do it
yes,
again?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And Amy, leave your eyes open when you jump out. I actually closed my eyes for that first maybe 2 or 3 seconds. Leave them open and make sure you look down. I want to see that angle from your GoPro, okay? I'm holding you to that.
Sounds good. And other tips I've heard are make sure to keep your mouth closed. Otherwise, you won't be able to shut it back.
And you'll look a little funny. You'll be flapping up there.
Oh, take pictures. You get the cheek flap.
Take a lot of pictures before, because Vic rocked this outfit. I think you're going to too, Amy.
Vic looks like a human bullet.
He does.
Yeah, with his World War I Ace flying helmet.
Yeah, well, if I see Ace, I'm going to say hi to him for you.
I'm going to send him a message and ask him if he's coming. I'll tell him to get Amy Guth if he is. We'll see if he's coming.
Yeah, I want that guy.
Okay. All right, what time is this happening today?
It's happening in about an hour. I think we're going to do a little bit of training, and then we're going to head up. And so I'm not sure how long that process takes, but I'll keep everybody posted.
All right, let us know when you're back. And do they teach you to curse, or you feel like you're pretty good in that?
I feel like I already excel. I already have a PhD in cursing.
She's so solid,
good,
man. She's got a solid. Trust me. She's made me stationary. She is solid.
That's right. And I'll be putting things on social media. You can look at hashtag Go Guth and see a lot of what's going on.
Go Guth.
I like it. Go Amy and go Army.
Go Amy, go Army, go Guth. And thank you to the Golden Knights for your service and for throwing Amy out of a perfectly good airplane. All right. Have fun. Have fun. I know you will. You may question the findings based on the fact that Amy Guth, a very talented writer and broadcaster and somebody we really like, is jumping out of an airplane. But here's a headline this morning. Women's brains are much more scientifically active than men's. The brains of men and women really are different. Certain regions of the female brain are dramatically more active than male ones.
Yes.
According to a study in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease, researchers used a special kind of CT scan. Then in addition to taking 3D images of the brain's anatomy, also gets a picture of biological activity, blood flow in a subject. The California-based team studied the brain scans of dozens of healthy people. and more than 26,600 psychiatric patients to identify differences between males and females, finding the sexes had varying brain function in both the healthy patient population and the patient population. The patients whose brains have been scanned had conditions as varied as schizophrenia, attention deficit, hyperactive activity disorder, bipolar disorder, brain trauma. The researchers investigated activity in 128 brain regions. Did you know you had 128 brain regions?
I thought I had 126.
I'd back that up. You lost two when you got into sports. Blood flow during the test was an indicator of the brain activity. Here's the quote. The brains of women in the study were significantly more active in many more areas of the brain than men in the study, especially in the prefrontal cortex. Were they in a band called Prefrontal Cortex?
No, they were at Lala.
Oh.
Yeah. See, this is why we can multitask.
And also, those parts of the brain involved with focus, which Mary just said, impulse control, and the limbic or emotional areas of the brain involved with mood and anxiety.
Mood?
Yeah.
Don't say, no. We just use our brains for different, for we think about other things, not just one
thing. Well, no, listen, what Dave just said was not sexist in the least, because you have to admit there's a slight chance that the female team can have varying moods of a wider range than men.
Why would you say that?
Yeah, really?
No, I'm kidding.
Yes.
And are you dogging us now? We are completely more emotional. Right. That's one of the qualities that I wish that we were not more as emotional as we are.
And you talk more.
Did you watch The Bachelorette last night?
And you talk more.
We do talk more.
Because you need to communicate.
Yeah.
There's a female genetic need to communicate more than men.
It relieves stress.
There are four sections to a man's brain. There's not 128
four?
Regions.
Wait, you have that four. Many? Hold on.
There's four.
I thought there were two. Mm-hmm.
No, there's four.
Let's count them.
There's
actually one. But...
There's food.
Yep.
Sports.
Yep.
Sex.
Yep.
And sleep. Those are the four sections.
I believe that completely.
Of a man's brain.
And women probably have, what do we have, 128?
128.
I would think, I would argue there's more than that.
Yeah.
Do you count beer as part of food?
Yeah, that would be part of food.
We have a whole section in our brain just for shoes.
Yeah, and to be honest, there's a fifth section. It's family, and that usually is... the biggest part of the brain, because I forgot to include it in the original four. but those would be the sections of the brain. I see your brain is more of, it's kind of like when you're looking for the keys in your purse and you never know where they are.
That's
right?
That's a great analogy.
So the female brain to me is constantly looking for the keys in the purse.
And it depends on what color purse you have that day, how many keys that you have, where you think you put them, where you went the night before, and if we got into an argument the night before.
Right.
Do you know what the problem is?
Right, right. Or a year before.
There's 128 compartments in that purse.
Right, right.
There, see?
Where there are only five in our wallets.
See, and you guys, and you understand us better than you thought you did.
Well, think about it. I mean, think about just the fact that somewhere hundreds of years ago, men started carrying wallets.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all we needed, because we only have five parts to our brain.
Oh, God.
You guys needed purses and sacks and satchels.
Because we have so much more maintenance. We need makeup. We have, you
watch an old
need.
Western, or you watch like Gunsmoke, you're not going to see Marshal Matt Dillon with a leather satchel going across with Festus Hagg behind him.
I also don't think you ever saw Marshal Matt Dillon pull out a wallet either. Quite frankly,
he didn't need a wallet.
When he walks into the saloon, he shows his badge.
His wallet.
We have a lot more going on. That's why we have all these compartments.
Plus, we got to carry all the men's stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mary, how many times have you been? I think we should get Maureen on the phone here and see if she's ever had to carry stuff for
she
Steve.
She has never carried anything for me.
My husband, every
time
we leave
the house. Well,
that's
not true. She carried two children.
Wait, I'm just curious. What on earth would you have to carry of your husband?
He'll say, hey, do you have room in your purse for my mints? My sunglasses, because we're leaving when it's sunny.
Never.
It's always my husband's
the keys.
Glasses.
My mints.
No,
his reading
guilty.
Glasses.
Right.
Yeah, of course you are, Dave.
I do it.
I'm sure Maureen has carried stuff for you, Steve.
Once.
Oh,
one
no.
One time.
What, golf balls?
No, it's probably, it's probably something. Some phone or something. But no, never. Here's why I don't ask anybody in my life to carry, especially a female, my daughter.
Yeah.
I don't ask anybody to carry my stuff. I'll never get it back.
That's
once it
true.
Goes into the purse, it's gone.
It'll You'll forget you gave it to him.
No, it'll be lost in our abyss.
Gone. It's
in
gone.
Abyss
it's not their
band.
Fault. It's just gone. It's like dropping something into the Grand Canyon. You're not going to get it back.
If we true know that. Where everything
no,
is.
I lose everything in my bag.
Steve,
I found three tubes of lipstick the other day.
Who carries your headphones down each morning?
Mike and his purse. Yeah. It's 7:34. Let's come back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
So long. adieu, adieu to you and you and you.
This could have been one of the reasons the crowd was slightly off at Lala. This was the closing
so
act.
So long, farewell, au revoir.
No. 400,000 people at a great time at Lollapalooza.
Yep.
All weekend long.
No.
And safety-wise and trouble-wise, seemed like the numbers were epic lows.
The numbers were doe a deer. The numbers were extremely low.
So good for them.
Folks, the officers in District 1 recovered that big bag of cell phones that they found, 60 cell phones, including Malia Obama lost her iPhone as well.
So they had 60 phones. This is a perfect segue.
That was recovered, yeah.
Yeah, and who found the phones?
District 1 police officers, yeah.
Joining us on the phone is Fareed Mosher, who can talk a little bit about the lost and found at Lollapalooza. Good morning, Fareed.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you being on. So have you opened your website, Fareed's On, where you sell all the stuff you guys found?
No. We're definitely focused on trying to get everything back to the patrons.
All right. So tell me about some of the stuff that you guys found. What did people leave behind? And I would assume it's clothes. I would assume it's cell phones, probably keys, maybe sunglasses. What else?
Yeah, well, the most common thing that we get turned into lost and found is IDs and credit cards. We also have mobile devices, which take up the majority of items that we get turned in, wallets, keys, bags, backpacks you mentioned. Clothing, apparel. We get all sorts of different things turned in lost in town over the course of the four-day weekend.
What's the most interesting thing that was lost?
Oh, we get some unique items. Sometimes we'll get things like a left boot, for instance, and then we wonder where the right boot is. So it changes. You'll be surprised about the things that people bring in as well as the people or the things that people lose.
Andre, you remember a couple of years ago, I left my trombone.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, and you said, don't bring your trombone to Lollapalooza. And I said, I wanted to play along.
And you recovered it, too.
That's right. They were nice enough to return my trombone and the slide.
I heard there were more than 800 things that people left behind, cell phone chargers, in addition to cell phones, wallets that were lost. Is that right, Fred?
Right now, we're actually at 1,772 items that have been submitted to our Lost and Found. And then so we're posting all of those items and trying to get them back to the rightful home.
What's the number one category?
Right now it is IDs and credit cards, mobile devices coming in closely behind.
Who, you know, it sounds ridiculous to say this, but that's a lot of credit cards.
Oh, big time.
I mean, who be a little more careful with your credit card? Boy, do I sound like a grandfather, don't I?
Pops.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Any of this stuff surprise you?
You know, I think what's been surprising is how the festival community has really kind of bought into the whole concept of doing a virtual lost and found system. It's something that we introduced last year with Crowdfind, and we had over 1,400 items posted. Second year doing it with Crowdfind, we've seen those numbers increase. So it's not necessarily surprising, but it's really good to see that people are out there, they're taking care of each other, they're finding stuff and they're bringing it to Lost and Found, and they're trying to be good neighbors to one another and take care of each other, and that's what we're trying to support as well.
Yeah, I really appreciate your time today. I would say maybe go through the bag of cell phones and find a better phone because your phone keeps breaking up on us, and then turn it back into them. But one last thing from Andrea.
Fareed, did you guys have this last year? Is this the first year that you've had the lost and found?
We've always had a lost and found a program for as long as the event existed, but we've implemented the virtual lost and found.
Right, the virtual. Okay, that right. Makes sense because...
Yeah, so the virtual, you post it, you can go on and see if it's yours. Again, for the stuff that doesn't get recovered or returned to somebody, what happens to it?
We try to donate or dispose of items that are unclaimed after 60 days in the most responsible way that we can. So whether it's working with authorities for specific items as we can or disposing of things in a sustainable manner, It depends on the item, but we try to do the best thing possible.
I'm telling you, Bezos has enough money. Mm-hmm. Amazon's killing it. Why not Faridazon? Faridazon is the website I can roll with. It's all the stuff from Amazon. Buy your stuff back at a reasonable price.
Yeah.
Fareed needs a new pair of shoes. Thank you, Fareed, and good luck to you. Good luck to you and your boot.
Yeah. And one last thing, if we are doing an event today from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., we'll do it again today, and then after that, we're going to work through the app to reconnect people with items up to 60 days after the event.
All right, you broke up again. Between 10 and 6 today, what happens?
10 and 6 a.m. At Michigan and Balbo, we do a post-event found item pickup.
Oh, I see. So you can come by. Got it.
Exactly.
All right, excellent. Great. Thank you, Fareed. I appreciate it. Sorry about the phone line, you guys.
Some of the things on here, in addition to what we were saying, to cell phones and chargers, their shoes. How do you leave with, well, I guess, if you're missing a shoe?
Take your shoes off, right? And then you're standing there and you're barefoot. You're celebrating the tunes.
Shoe.
And then you leave and, well, that's like the one boot, right? You hop back to your car.
You'd look in those.
I don't know. That would be a good look for me. Andrea's showing me a pair of shoes that look like a Tom Skilling weather map.
Yeah.
I lost a flip-flop at a Rolling Stones concert once.
Mick Jagger's still wearing it.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. We called them thongs back then, remember?
Keith Richards tried to eat it. He thought it was lunch 2 minutes or so before 8 o'clock tomorrow. Speaking of golf, as we were earlier, and as we often do on this show, we have to make our PGA picks.
Oh, yeah.
PGA picks tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Who won the British Open? I forgot.
You did.
That's right.
Oh, you didn't
forget. Your last chance to play Majors Madness presented by the 2017 BMW Championship. Go to WGNradio.com/contest to register. And make your picks for the golfers you think will finish 1st through 10th in the PGA this weekend at Quail Hollow. You'll also have a chance to get a pair of tickets to the 2017 BMW Championship at Conway Farms coming up in just about a month. And the winner also gets a round of 4 golf and cart at Bolingbrook Golf Club and range balls as well. Yes, Dave?
You didn't win the British Open. Jordan Spieth won the British Open.
No, I won. Jordan Spieth won the secondary event.
Oh.
Register and play Majors Madness presented by BMW, the championship, at WGNradio.com/contest. News is next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Does the president commit to not firing Robert Mueller?
The president has not even discussed that. That the president is not discussing firing Bob Mueller.
But will he commit not to fire?
Complying and cooperating with... He has not even discussed not fire. He's not discussed firing Bob Mueller.
That's not what I'm asking.
And in fact, Ty Cobb... Well, hold on. I'm not the president's lawyer here, but I will tell you as his counselor, he is not discussing that. You have to listen to his special counsel, Ty Cobb, who works in the White House now, and has said very clearly, George, this week, that we will continue to cooperate with Bob Mueller in his investigation, even though he just hired the 16th person. Many of them are Democratic donors. But we'll continue to cooperate and comply.
It's one of the more amazing things about this 6 months, it feels like 6 years, is Donald Trump, if in fact he's innocent of all charges, could have stemmed the tide for this from the beginning, and anywhere along, including today, could stand up and say, as President of the United States, I want this over, but I want it over because the people of this country that voted for me, the people who I represent, deserve it to be over. So I will talk to anybody. I will do everything I can within my power to move forward. But instead of that, in about 10 minutes, we'll get another tweet that says it's a witch hunt. Congressman Mike Quigley joins us. Congressman, how are you?
Good. Good
morning. Nice to see you.
Glad to be here.
It's more fun to talk about the Hawks than this, isn't it?
Absolutely. Training camp's begun, too.
Yeah, and you and I are both Blackhawks nuts. Saw you at the convention, and we're optimistic about the new year. Listen, I appreciate what you've done. I appreciate what you've done this year in particular, standing up, and I'm sure not the most comfortable times, even in your own party, when you stand up and say, listen, this is not okay. This is not okay for Democrats. This is not a Democrat thing. This is not a Republican thing. This is an American thing. Where are we going?
I think, to your point about what the president could have done, I think early on, he should have appointed the special investigator.
Right.
He could have said to his son and Kushner and the entire Trump campaign and his own current administration, we're going to cooperate fully. We're going to respond to all subpoenas, and we're going to answer all these questions as quickly as possible. I think it would have enhanced the belief that he was telling the truth and would have led people to believe. Because you don't have to convince Americans about a conspiracy. The country rests on a grassy knoll.
Right.
And talking about it being a witch hunt, and they talk about cooperation. Let's face facts. They began with the Nunez excursion to the White House at midnight. And that, as a member of the committee, I can tell you, distract, deflect, delay. And then it graduated, you know, when they fired Comey for that Russian thing, as he said, to outright obstruction. So they made this much tougher, and they made this last longer. If they want it to be over, just start cooperating.
Is there a more powerful tool in Congress when you don't want something to happen than delay?
Right.
Delay, because we've never had a shorter attention span. The news cycle flips, I would argue, in 12 hours, not 24. And delay works. And if you're telling a new lie every single day, as I believe this White House does, then delay until I get to the next one.
What I've discovered here is the most powerful tool toward getting the truth has been the press, right? Most of what we do on the investigation, we can't talk about. We can't talk about it yet. We're talking about classified materials.
Sure.
Clearly, Mr. Mueller and his team can't talk about what's taking place. But the extraordinary work that's been done under difficult circumstances by the press has been very helpful, because when we started this investigation, there was only two elements to it. What did the Russians do, and how can we prevent it? It wasn't, if it wasn't for the pressure we talked about, but the press bringing out about Russian involvement, we never would have got was there collusion, was there cooperation. So I applaud, under difficult circumstances, what the press has done. They haven't gotten it all right, but it reminds me of my high school days watching Watergate.
Yeah. Same here. I think you and I are about the same age. And I, you know, when we were kids, seeing all of that that happened and all the changes that were coming, it felt now like it happened in 10 minutes, but it took a year and a half, 2 years. It doesn't feel like we have that kind of time now. And my concern is, and I don't believe you've shown this, but you have fellow members in Congress, certainly on the Republican side, but on the Democrat side as well, who don't seem to have that same sense of urgency. We have, in my opinion, a 911 problem in the White House.
Yeah.
We need to get to the bottom of it as fast as possible. And I know you can't rush Mueller. I know he's got to do his federal investigation thing, and God bless him for it. But the faster we get through this, the better we're going to be. Every day is traumatic.
Yeah, you know, one of the differences between Watergate and now is...
this is more serious.
This is more serious, but look at how difficult this investigation is. You have a hostile administration, but much of what took place in other countries, and it involved a foreign power. Mm-hmm. It's not like you can subpoena a Russian oligarch.
Right.
And make him testify, did you launder money
The Trump administration? If you let Putin testify without his shirt, do you think he'd come in then?
He wants to play hockey anytime.
Yeah, there you go.
What are your thoughts on the use of the excessive and maybe inappropriate use of Twitter by the president? Attacks on the media, attacks on Senator Blumenthal, just a daily attack, just a barrage of tweets. What's the chatter on Capitol Hill?
Yeah, I think
this.
That
on both sides of the aisle,
I think my Republican colleagues would like to respectfully tackle the president and take away his ability to use Twitter. They're afraid what he might say and how it affects moderates who might vote for them and their influence on their own party. It's also, I think, demeaning to the presidency. I mean, look, FDR didn't take to Twitter, right? Despite his handicaps, he made it to the House of Representatives in a joint session of Congress and changed history with his words and not a certain amount of characters, right, that he tweeted out in a moment. Honestly, the best example I can give is when the president tweeted out that President Obama bugged Trump Tower.
Right.
It was clearly, he woke up on a Saturday morning and saw something on Breitbart, and tweeted about it, just repeating it without any sense of what was taking place. You're seeing dramatic inconsistencies within the White House in how it refers to important issues between Secretary Tillerson and the White House on issues like North Korea. Clearly, Tillerson is attempting the diplomatic approach, and I applaud him for that. McMaster and others, General Mattis, the adults in the room, And then the president tweets out something that clearly shows an indication that he wants to do this unilaterally and through force.
Well, in regards to Andrea's question, and you may have seen this or not this morning, but the president retweets from Fox and Friends this. U.S. spy satellites detect North Korea moving anti-ship cruise missiles to patrol boat. He's the president of the United States. I don't think he needs to watch Fox and Friends to know whether or not that's true. And the fact that he retweeted it makes it feel like that's new news to him.
We often ask, where do we think the president is getting his news? Because he hasn't shown a willingness to trust the intelligence community.
He hasn't shown a willingness to read.
Well, he seems to have a short attention span, but he said he didn't want his daily, when he first started, he didn't want his daily intel briefings. I'm on the intel committee, and if I'm president of the United States, I want briefed 5 times a day.
Right.
The world is changing, and it's a very dangerous place. You've got to rely on the intel community. And if he's worried about what he calls fake news, the intel community is extraordinarily professional. And by the way, it's pretty darn conservative. It largely comes from a military background. So I think he can trust that, but he has to trust the facts. He has to trust sound information that comes before him. As you know, there's a story out today that there's concern about him suppressing information about climate change.
Right.
He has to trust facts and science. It can't be gut feelings or emotions or beliefs. The policy is too important.
But trust is a two-way street. How can you as lawmakers trust what he says when you are all trying to govern and do what's best for the country?
Yeah, as a co-equal branch, how can you trust him?
Well, I don't think there are many members that take much heed in what the president tweets. They anticipate it's going to be something dramatic, and they move forward. The fact is, how did we fund, for example, this government the last 5-6 years under President Obama? It was almost typically a bipartisan event with moderate Republicans and moderate Democrats that just decided to work together with the White House to do what's right. I don't know if we have that option right now, because while I still think that there's a bipartisan middle ground that wants to move this country forward, it's much more difficult when the president is pushing things way out to the extreme. Where's the middle ground at that point?
Well, here's a question, and we'll take a break, come back more with Congressman Quigley in a second. Dean is unavailable this morning. You're going to give us a couple of show business headlines as well, where Dean normally would be.
Yes.
But the question is, and I don't know the answer to this, and we probably won't know because it's going to take time to figure it out. Does the Trump era, however long it turns out to be, make us more partisan or create less partisanship because people finally are sick of it? Will people finally be willing to see, and there's a new CNN poll out this morning that seems to indicate the trend I'm talking about, and that is where the far right and the far left are the problem. They're not the solution. I mean, time will tell, I guess.
Yeah, I think, obviously, the Trump administration has done more than any administration to shoot the extremes out there. But I think all Americans have to ask themselves, are they really willing to support compromise? I see members at town halls, and I've been at events where people say, you have to get this done, but don't you compromise. And the answer is, which one do you want?
Right.
So I think Americans as a whole have to ask themselves, what do they really want, and are they willing to compromise for a greater good? I often say, I was fortunate enough to win a special election. There you get to get sworn in the middle of a vote series, literally, right. And then you get to speak to Congress for 4 or 5 minutes. When I sat down, the first person to come up to me was Congressman Mark Kirk, and he said, the best advice I can give you is that anything that gets done here gets done in the middle. Can Americans take that advice as a whole?
Yeah, for the greater good of all of us.
Right.
Congressman Mike Quigley, more in a second, and I also got to ask you about the COFEFE Act. Mike COFEFE Quigley. Yes, Congressman Mike Quigley is here. And are you worried about the Democratic Party?
I'm always concerned about how my party is doing, how it's moving forward.
But when you say my party, I always think of you as a moderate, right, and a guy in the middle, a guy willing to see both sides. But I was concerned a couple of weeks ago when Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi stood up for the rollout of the exciting new phrase for Democrats that was going to electrify the country, and the phrase was a new deal, or was it a better deal? A better deal.
Better deal.
A better deal.
Right.
We've scrapped that in the Democratic side, I hope. A better deal?
I don't know. I think people are home for this month of August, and they're messaging what their thoughts are on how to move the country forward on the economic side.
I'm just here to tell you, as a guy,
I think it's an infrastructure you build upon.
As a guy in the middle, I'm here to tell you, a better deal ain't going to get it done. Uh-huh. A better deal. You have all the most creative minds in the world. Almost all of them are Democrats. They're sitting in Hollywood. Call them. Guys, call them up. Call them up. Say, we need a slogan. Let's brainstorm it. Put something up on a whiteboard. A better deal. Not exactly lighten up the room.
I think, as I said, Democrats and Republicans are home for the full month of August. They're meeting with their constituents, listening to their ideas. And I think the term, for better or for worse, is just, again, an infrastructure that you build upon. Well, how do Americans think we can move forward? I think we're always working on it.
There you go. That's all you need. Why do you suppose the vice president was so almost hostile about being accused of potentially putting together an exploratory committee to look at the possibility of being the president? To me, it'd be malpractice if he wasn't ready to be president.
I think no one wants to be caught looking at the boss's job, right? Bosses don't look kindly upon that. A real common question lawmakers get and I get is, you know, what are you running for next? The problem for that is you got to be focused on the job you have.
Sure.
People frown upon that. Second, the person who has that job doesn't necessarily like the fact that you're eyeing it. I suppose we all know in business and politics that people are often looking to move up and do something else. So I think that's why you saw such a strong response.
But I don't see it as a lack of loyalty or even a lack of respect. I see the insecurity of the guy that's got the job now. I don't think Ronald Reagan spent any time wondering whether George Bush was going to take his job. And I'm not sure Bill Clinton spent any time concerned about Al Gore.
I think in politics there's something from Shakespeare, surround me with fat men. I think the expression had to do with girth. It had to do with people who weren't ambitious, right? It was an expression referencing folks who weren't after what I'm doing right now.
The COFEFE Act. A little tongue-in-cheek here, but I appreciate your sense of humor about it and the true intent of it, which is?
Well, look, your point's well taken. We have worked on transparency issues for 18 years now. As a county commissioner, we passed a lot of measures, and I formed the Transparency Caucus in Congress, not getting a lot of public traction. So we took an act, the Archives Act, in with the president, passed post-Watergate. Important, right? You don't want a president destroying something that could be an official record and also evidence.
Right.
Right? So there's something important here. We just talked about it not getting much traction. You give it a clever, perhaps snarky...
A hook.
A hook. And people pay attention. You got 250,000 hits on our social media.
Yeah.
And more importantly, people talking about the issue. Do we go back in September, perhaps rephrase it, try to attach it to another bill and effectively make it work? Sure. The same with our Mar-a-Lago Act, right? Official records. President Obama for 8 years voluntarily released the information of those trying to influence him, whether that was at the White House or anyplace else. So Mar-a-Lago, whether you're in Trump Tower or South Florida, you ought to tell us who's meeting you.
Last word from you, Audra.
No, I just want to know when you go back, or is there going to be movement on, I know repeal and replace is big now, if that's dead in the water, or infrastructure bill. I mean, we still need to get a lot of these projects going, and it's been 200 plus days now.
I think most Americans should hope the first thing we do is raise the debt ceiling. Because as President Reagan said, if we don't, markets will collapse. Then we have to work on infrastructure, tax reform. I think the problem for the agenda that the Republicans had is it depended on knocking 20 million or more people off of health care, use that savings to begin the tax reform process. Now they're sort of stuck in a process. Well, how are we going to pay for it?
Do you think that what you're hearing from your Republican friends is a louder noise than ever that's going to grind this process to a halt because we're getting closer to 2018 and campaign season every day? So who is going to go out on a limb for an agenda for a president who's sitting at 33% and 34% popularity?
Yeah, I think if I'm leadership on the Republican side, I tell the president to sit this one out. Let us raise the debt ceiling. Let us get the infrastructure put in place.
And for clarity, the debt ceiling is for bills we already owe.
Right.
It's not about spending. It's about spending we've already done. Correct?
Obligations we already have.
Yeah, so that's why you have to legally pay for it.
So ask the president to sit it out. Let us get the basics done and the beginnings of an infrastructure bill and tax reform and some of the likes. Because, frankly, I think a lot of my Republicans realize if the president is advancing something, he's not going to do it in a way that actually helps message effectively. And again, the commitment is there. If they come to us in the middle and say, how can we work together, we can get something done. On infrastructure, I should be just as concerned with rebuilding the locks on the Mississippi so our farmers right. can ship grain out and make money as they are about us rebuilding the blue line.
Everything good in your district?
Everything's great in the district. Cubs are back in first place. Blackhawks are going to start pretty soon. Ready to roll.
And you still have a full head of hair, but I'm not bitter. nice to see you, Congressman.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
You're always welcome here. And your fine staff informed us during the break that Covfefe is no longer available as an Indiana license plate. Somebody has grabbed it.
Still available in Illinois.
So, all right, 8:34. Back with the big story next, and then Andre will give you a couple of showbiz headlines too on 720 WGN. Just ahead of my friend Jennifer Weigel and your friend Jennifer Weigel. In lieu of Dean, Taylor Swift in the headlines today.
Yeah, her jury selection has begun in this trial. She's suing a former KYGO morning show host.
What's his name?
His name's David Mueller, but they knew him as
Shotgun Davey Miller.
They call him Jackson.
Oh.
That was his radio name. He says he lost his job after she falsely accused him of improperly touching her at a 2013 meet and greet at the Pepsi Center. She says he absolutely positively did reach up the back of her dress and grab her butt.
Didn't Tommy Lasorda fondle you?
No, that was Sandberg, I thought.
Oh, I thought it was you.
I think he gave me a big hug, but I think the fondling was
You ever had
Sandberg.
A photo op where somebody was inappropriate? I mean, other than me?
Oh, well, I was just going to say. Yes. I can't
Jen can say the same
that.
Thing, yeah.
Not with you, but...
I don't think so. Some older men, Jen probably has this, do tend to get a little squeezy.
Hey, just yesterday at the golf touching. Outing, there was some little handsy moves.
You look beautiful, by the way. Pete McMurray and Jen, that picture that I showed you, she looked beautiful. He's in a Cubs suit.
Pete's in that picture?
Pete's in...
He got a little handsy with Weigel over there.
No, Pete wasn't the one that was handsy. No. Neither was Joel Murray. I'm just saying that just tends to happen.
Right, sometimes, yeah. People are just... A little friendly,
but Sandberg, if you wanted to, you could have filed charges with Tommy Lasorda, right? I mean, in the real world,
that was Tommy, right? He liked you.
He comes in, she's like, doo-doo-doo.
He kind of
in the real world, like in the real world, like a real job, not the show business
right,
job you have
biz,
currently.
Not radio
in the
here.
Real world, in a real job, you could have filed charges.
Yes,
okay,
because I was licked, sure. So my face.
Oh,
was
you got
licked.
Yeah,
oh,
that's what it was.
We were groped. Well, hugged and touched, and then the licking on the face was the part.
That's where I draw the line. When
I just wonder
sort of
what his
me.
Inner monologue was that thought, this will get her.
Right.
I'm going to lick her cheek.
I'm going to lick her.
That's his move.
Right. Somebody else.
And then probably if I filed it, there'd be all these women all over the world
coming
out that say,
and
oh
the
my
Gloria
God,
Allred would volunteer to represent
you. She'd be
you.
In the lobby of the tower.
Yeah.
There was another actor who came in here, and I think he was fine with us, but I shouldn't say his name, but he did the same thing to a producer at Channel 9.
Ed Asner.
Yeah.
No, listen, he's a pervert. I'm telling you.
But there's
he
a certain
the
age
he did the licking and
where
it
you
like,
allow it.
Licking in the
which
face?
Is not probably good for women's lib or anything.
Well, but they, you also want to just get out of the moment.
I mean, I right. thought, you know, at that moment, he could have also just fallen over and that would have been the end of his life.
You would have been
thought,
the last
so.
One.
She's not proud that the licking of your neck was a balancing maneuver by Tommy Lasorda.
So no, I'm just
a precursor
saying, you know,
to a heart attack.
Yeah, there's a...
Oh,
I got to tell you, Zsa Zsa Gabor was all hands with me.
Yes, she was.
So what do you mean?
I had some contact when I worked in Los Angeles, and I used to work in the baseball realm. So Tommy was at Dodger Stadium quite a bit, and Tommy might be one of the crankiest guys I've ever met.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah,
when
yeah.
Mary was around, oh boy,
he wasn't real cranky.
No. But my favorite moment with Tommy Lasorda to this day was when he fell asleep during an interview with Cap on Comcast. Do you remember that?
Sure. Yeah,
they
sure.
go to the live shot of him, and yeah. he's just snoozing.
Just catching a snooze.
Too much brown liquor? What happened?
He's
just
Cap.
Catching a snooze.
Oh,
okay. Got it.
So good.
Did you turn down the Dodgers Batgirl job that he offered you?
I did,
okay.
yeah.
yeah.
Though while he kept mentioning his wife when he was hugging him.
As he was licking you?
Licking you. Yep.
Maybe he thought you reminded him of his wife.
Yeah, so it's just.
Oh, that makes
that
it
makes
adorable.
It okay, then it's adorable.
Not really.
All right, yeah. So Taylor Swift is suing Jackson. He's countersuing her for $3 million, and jury selection is underway in that.
All right, get another one.
Did you hear about Katy Perry and Robert Pattinson? Apparently, they were out having dinner at a restaurant at the Sunset Tower Hotel. It's the Tower Bar, big place where the celebrities go, I guess. Someone snapped a picture. It was a patron who just kind of went by and said, "Can I take your picture?" They must have said yes because they're both smiling and looking great and beautiful and happy in the picture. But three waiters got fired. And they're
for allowing that photo to happen.
For allowing the photo to happen, the management said they should have stepped
in. How are you supposed to stop that?
And told the person not to do it. So
that's ridiculous.
That's crazy. I know. So they are.
By the way, Katy Perry. Katy Perry, one of the world's most beautiful women.
Yeah. Truly.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Truly.
Yeah.
Stunning.
I know.
Absolutely stunning.
I'm not gay, but I would make out with her in a hot minute. I'm sorry.
You kissed a Katy Perry.
I'd kiss a Katy, and I'd like it a lot. I think we would be friends.
I think I'd be a friend of yours if that happened.
Remember, we were talking about last hour, all the people that lost things at Lollapalooza.
Yeah, yeah.
They had like 1,700 items that were lost and stolen. Mm-hmm. Someone who reportedly is going to send her person to her handler to go check it out, Malia Obama. Poor thing.
What'd she
her
lose?
Her cell phone. Her iPhone.
Well, she got Secret Service with her. How did she lose her cell phone?
I don't know. She came into the Apple store to get her iPhone replaced yesterday.
Too much
What did you say?
Too much Molly.
Not Malika. Wow. Not her. At Lollapalooza in general. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. In general at that place.
But how about that call when you have to call Barack Obama and tell him you love Dad?
Dad, I'm so sorry.
Dad, you're not going to believe
this. You know that video you sent me at Christmas where you're making everybody laugh and you're doing that impression?
And you can get into the photos on a phone without a password. Hello.
Maybe on your phone.
I keep that open. Two more quickies for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Sinead O'Connor. This was really a sad story. Another cry for help from Sinead O'Connor. She's living in a hotel room in New Jersey, put out a video. She said she hopes it can help people. She's suffering from mental illness and has nobody in her life except her doctor and her psychiatrist.
There are always resources.
Yeah.
There are always, no matter how dark it gets for you, go to the nearest hospital, tell them what you're feeling. There is help out there.
Cry for help from Sinead O'Connor. And the MTV Video Music Awards will be later this month. They've just announced Ed Sheeran, Miley Cyrus, The Weeknd, and Katy Perry. Back to the...
It all goes back to Katy Perry. When do you see these videos?
What videos?
Well, it's a Video Music Awards. So
right, exactly. Actors... Where do you watch them? On your
phone.
Where
do you watch them? But can you see videos anymore?
On Vimeo.
Yeah, on YouTube?
On YouTube.
That's a great question. I don't
so
know
YouTube
if
or Vimeo.
Videos anymore.
But music television, you can't find a video on there.
That used to be the thing. You'd make the album, the single would be released, you'd make the video.
Yeah.
So also Lorde and Shawn Mendes also going to be performing August 27th.
The record industry has changed completely. That's why Dave and I are having trouble. We're trying to figure out how to start our much older boy band. And how are we going to get discovered?
It's your man band.
A man band is even more appealing.
I think that's even better.
What was it? Old Men Who Can't Get Off the Couch? Or what did you call
that
it?
It was a rough title. Men Who Can't Get Off the Couch. Yeah.
What about the remote controls?
The remote controls.
That's a good
Come
one.
On. That's good.
That's good. Marketer.
See?
That's your showbiz news today.
We'll talk to Joan Weigel about what's going on with her and a Facebook post yesterday that has America perplexed and wondering if they have change. Stand by for that on 720 WGN. First, here's Mary. We're getting a bunch of text messages all with the same theme, and that's that a local, very well-known sportscaster was famous for a photo op boob grab. Oh, and by the way, it wasn't your dad.
I was going to say.
And it's not Dave Bennett.
Okay.
Thank you for
adding
that, too.
Right?
I'm sorry?
Cap?
It's not Cap either. No.
Since we've already tossed him
Someone no longer with us.
Oh.
Yes. Jennifer Weigel's here, and yesterday there was a Facebook post. You apparently were at an arcade with your son and some buddies.
Oh, this was a few nights ago.
Oh, it was a few days ago?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And you made a reference to spare change being dropped down the slot that was in front of you because somebody is showing off their butt crack.
Yeah.
And I find that you
Just
know,
a nickel and two pennies.
I find that you know if your pants need to be pulled up.
If someone drops pennies in it, you probably do. But wouldn't one feel the breeze?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. But, you know, I see things. I have to report the facts.
Right. That's why Jen is here today. She's starting a new foundation to end butt crackology. in America.
From the picture, though, too, in all fairness, which you alluded to, this person's in decent shape.
Right.
Not any...
This wasn't plumber's crack. This is a woman showing off her butt crack.
Right, but I said a man in the post because I was trying to divert focus because I didn't want, if in case, you know, he followed me on Facebook or she followed me on Facebook, she wouldn't know that I was talking about her. But I'm sure when she found the 7 cents later when she changed.
By the way, did you hear the segment we did earlier about how your brain has 168 active areas, but ours only has 5?
Really?
Yeah, ours are food, sex, sports, napping, and family.
Where's the remote control come into play?
Well, that would be probably sports.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, I know that we all, as humans, use about 6% of our brain on a good day, men and women.
I think you and Andrea probably use 7, 8 easy.
You think? Oh, yeah. Andrea, 9 for sure.
So
she's whipper smart.
A lot of things she's talking about. I'm sorry, I'm distracted. Every time I look to my right, there's another boob grab about this famous sportscaster.
I can't wait to go over there and look.
You can figure it out.
I can figure it out.
Give us a hint. He's no longer with us, right?
He's no longer with us.
The picture's out there.
Yeah, it involves cows.
Okay, I've had a feeling.
Yeah, that's what you thought it was. Yeah. All right, so what are you up to?
I've got a show Thursday night. I want to give away some tickets to your listeners.
Well,
just because
let's
find out
what the
like
show
that.
Is because, you know, if this is you and the butt crack lady, maybe we don't want to go.
Problem, or maybe you do.
Okay.
But basically, yes, you know, I do those conversations with Weigel up at the Wilmot Theater once a month where I interview different authors in the spiritual space.
Yes.
And I've got Echo Bodine. She's a psychic healer, medium, and ghostbuster for, 50 years. She's been doing this a while. She's been around the block for a while. So she's fantastic, and she barely comes to Chicago. I had her here in January. Sold
Echo
out.
Bodine.
Echo Bodine, her God-given name, written 11 books, and she's going to be there to answer questions
give me
to the
her,
audience.
Give me her street cred again. What is she? She's a
healer and a ghostbuster.
She's a healer. She'd heal
she's
what?
She's been on, she could heal your,
knees?
Lungs, your knees, whatever.
Yeah.
But
my lungs are fine.
Since she was 17. She's had this gift, and so she's been banging the drum, helping other people develop their intuition. So she wants to go out of business by teaching all of us to do what she does.
And the idea is people come to the show.
Yeah.
They hear her presentation.
Well, I'm going to interview her on stage.
You're going to interview her.
Then people are going to ask questions.
And then there's a Q&A.
And then she's going to read the audience.
You can go and get read.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you're into that.
Like I could read Andrea's 168 areas of her brain.
Completely.
That'd take a long time.
Yeah. Again,
a
mine.
A lot of compartments. Mine, a lot of lost
five.
Items in there.
Right?
Five.
I'm surprised there were that many, though, because initially you said 2.
Right?
No, it's just 4. Then I added family because I forgot.
Right.
But, these things always sell out, so I want to give a few tickets to your listeners. There are still some tickets available. I just checked before I came in.
Oh, there are? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But you want to give some away?
I do. 2 pair.
All right. 7th and 8th callers at 312-981-7200. But you have to be able to go Thursday night,
7 p.m.
to the fabulous Wilmot Theater. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, if you get free tickets, I feel you should feel guilty enough to buy a couple more.
Or a book from Echo or myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feature Echo in my new book. She's chapter 2. She's awesome.
Echo Bodine.
Mm-hmm.
Everything she says twice?
I don't know. But that would be appropriate.
Yeah. For Echo. Yeah. Great to see you as always.
Thank you.
Hang around if you want. We got more show coming up.
Cool beans.
Yeah.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
Back live from the Allstate Showcase Studio for show number 962. We're also live on CLTV. Wave, our gratuitous wave to CLTV. Make sure you hit all cameras. Carrie Shedler's here from Chicago Magazine. And Carrie's got a terrific piece I highly recommend because, I'm a new fan of Carrie's, and I'll recommend whatever you write. But it's on Charlie Trotter. Charlie Trotter, the genius. And correct me if I'm wrong right out of the gate here, but of all the ripoff artists who have stolen something Charlie Trotter originally created, I don't believe anybody's encompassed all of it, right?
No, I mean, he was completely unique in his approach to food, in part because of the time that he came up. He really broke the barriers of what we thought a restaurant could do, and there's no one else who's really come close to that.
The food was always good. I was telling a story off the air, but when Charlie was nice enough to come in and on the old show quite a bit, and when he came in, he goes, you got to come over. Well, you went to Charlie Trotter's, you had to commit to a 3-hour dinner.
Oh, like it was the experience.
Yeah, and the first thing brought out the first course were 2 tiny little scallops in the center of a gigantic artistic plate.
Yeah.
And I said, Charlie, where's the rest of the food?
Yeah.
You need to bring the rest of the food, Charlie. You forgot some of the food. Yeah. But by the end, you're not only visually satisfied yourself, because he had this magical way of putting together different foods, different ingredients, different things in a way you'd never seen it before, and you walked out going, that was great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it totally shifted the paradigm.
So who has he spawned that we would know in the city?
I mean, pretty much every big name chef in all of Chicago, you can trace back to him.
The Charlie Trotter tree.
Yes, yeah. And we actually have a family tree in the print edition of the story. I mean, Grant Achatz spent a little bit of time in his kitchen. It was a very formative experience. He writes about it pretty... He spends a lot of time writing about it in his book. He wasn't there long, but it left a lasting impact. And Curtis Duffy of Grace, Matthias Merges of You Show, The Shields of Smith and the Loyalist, new restaurant that's been getting a lot
I've
of attention.
There. That's
like,
fantastic. Yeah. West Loop, yeah, or West Town.
So they were all big shot chefs that learned at least a little bit from Charlie.
For sure, yeah. Spent either a little or a lot of time.
All right, of people you talked to who worked in the kitchens with him, was he crazy? Was he fun? What type of guy was he to work with?
He was intense. Chefs kind of say it was almost like an island of misfit toys, the people who thrived there.
Okay.
You know, it was very chaotic energy sometimes. There was yelling. There was throwing of food sometimes when things weren't going well. But it was also a very kind of driven environment. And for the people who spent time there, they really thrived in it.
Did he really kind of put presentation on the map? I mean, as far as we joke about the small portions and the big plates, but you know, maybe the first time an edible flower was put on there. I mean, did he really? Was he one of the first?
Wait, the flower was edible?
Yes, it was. Remember we talked about that? You can eat the flower.
Oh boy!
But the presentation—did he kind of put that on the map?
Absolutely. His cookbook, his first cookbook in 1994, was one of the first like kind of big like full color photo cookbooks, and you can see there the plates themselves were works of art. They weren't just about the food. They were about the plating. They were about the colors. They were about the ingredients, and then really letting all of that sing.
Who did he learn from?
You know, he didn't spend a ton of time in restaurant kitchens before he opened Charlie Trotter's. He hopped around to a couple of different restaurants before then. He maintained very close relationships with Norman Van Aken, who is another chef, big name chef who is down in Florida. But he also was kind of just a student in and of itself. He went to college. He liked to read philosophy, and so a lot of that stuff informed his approach as well.
It's a really cool article, and you have a picture of a menu from 1987, and it's interesting to go back. And of course, times were much different, but to look at the prices, you know, like, you know, one of the entrees is, you know, $7.50 or what, you know, the prices. How was he able to change with the times and yet still charge these huge prices, but for something so unique?
Yeah, so it's interesting. In writing this story, Chicago Magazine has these incredible archives of critics visiting the restaurant from like 3 months after it opened all the way back till it closed every six months.
And it opened when? 87?
87, yeah. 87. And so you can kind of trace the evolution of it. It started out with, you know, just kind of approachable but a little spendy prices, but then it pretty quickly transformed into a fixed price menu, one of the early fixed price menus.
Yeah, nobody was doing that.
Yeah, I mean, Everest was the only other restaurant, as far as I could tell, that was doing it. And so he kind of really quietly led people down the path of starting to accept that food maybe is something that you could spend some more money on and get a truly artistic.
And I think I'm right about this, and you covered in the piece, I know, the farm-to-table thing.
Yeah.
Didn't he invent that?
He was one of the absolute leaders of that movement. I mean, anybody who's name-checking produce vendors on their menu now, he was one of the first people to do that.
And by the way, so people understand, he made it a thing.
Yes.
Obviously, the food came from farms before Charlie.
Yeah.
But the farm-to-table thing you hear about everywhere, it started with him.
Yes. Yeah, he was really an early leader of that.
The history, if you look at the piece, the history you lay out really nicely, because you lay out on pictures and stuff, because I like pictures. But the fact of the matter is, there's a million memories that people have of going there. And to me, those are great people to talk to as well. What was your Charlie Trotter experience? Because it wasn't just the regulars. It became a must-see place if you were going to come to Chicago to eat.
Yeah, it was CNBC and dining. Again, in those notes, you know, you can... Our critics are writing down people talking about, you know, how dining was starting to become a sport for them. And,
sure.
You know, that's absolutely because of Charlie Trotter's. I mean, more ambitious restaurants starting to open in his wake.
And you talk about this, too. There's a portion of the article called The Kitchen Tyrant. And I didn't know this. I know he was a perfectionist, of course, but was he... like some of the chefs you see now on Food Network who were just kind of, was he like a yeller in the kitchen?
There was some cursing. There was some yelling. Absolutely. I mean, it was a very intense environment. And he
so Gordon Ramsay ripped Gordon off his Ramsay. Act.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, absolutely. And Charlie really expected this level of perfection that people weren't otherwise used to. There's an anecdote in the piece from John Shields of Smith. Charlie brought him over to a window one day, had him look out at this little potted garden and say, what do you see? What's the problem here? And John's looking around, couldn't figure it out what it was. And then Charlie pointed out to him, there was like a small neon orange sticker from the pot that he'd just bought. The price tag wasn't off. And it's like, that was the level of detail, attention to detail that he expected from his employees.
And well, that's one of the reasons you get to the top, I suppose, right?
Absolutely.
There is an anecdote in the piece that I don't want to give away, but one of the famous chefs we've already discussed said in part, don't ever use me as a reference. Don't put Charlie Trotter on your resume. As far as I'm concerned, if you haven't worked here for a year, you haven't worked here for a day. Did he hold grudges?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are other stories in the piece where, you know, people leave behind his empire and he kind of cut them out. He didn't forgive them for leaving the family. And for the people who stayed, it really was a family.
I wasn't there very often. I probably knew him better on the air than off the air. But every time I went there, he was great with the clientele, like phenomenal.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The clientele. But I never saw him as being really socially comfortable unless he was talking to patrons or talking about food.
He knew how to work a room, absolutely. And he knew how to make people feel comfortable. The piece really focuses on the restaurant experience that people were having. And, you know, even as a diner, you can sometimes see the yelling and the kind of tyrant side to him coming out. But for the most part, you know, he turned it on when he was in the restaurant.
Sure.
You touched on this briefly before, but some of his proteges, his sous chef, I think we're saying Sherry is now, correct?
Yeah, Sari Worsham. She worked under him at the restaurant and co-authored many of his books. And he was a prolific writer as well.
So there's still a lot of his proteges out there, still in Chicago.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you really can see, like, the next generation of Trotter chefs are very much still concentrated here and making a huge impact on the culinary scene.
I do remember one time when Charlie swore at me. We were talking about the amount of food you actually got at Charlie's as opposed to the presentation in the show. And I told him he should open a hot beef stand next door, own that as well. So if people left hungry, they could go there. And it was off the air just barely. He referred to me as a blanking idiot.
Did he say, Steve, come look out the window over here?
It was an honor. It was an honor to be cursed at.
Yeah, a rite of passage.
Charlie Trotter is alive and well. That is the piece in Chicago Magazine. Out now, yes?
Yes.
Out and available everywhere. You going to write the movie? I think there's a movie here.
I'm available if Hollywood wants to call.
Get the movie done, man. Carrie Shedler, nice to see you.
Nice to see
Hope
you.
We do this again. Yep. It's 9:23. More in a moment on 720 WGN. At 9:27, still to come, Orion Samuelson, young broadcaster, will join us. Well, once a week or so, we like to catch up with Orion and find out what's on his mind. And there's some ag news that's out today that, you know, could be a little bit troubling. So we'll see what's bugging Orion coming up as well. And I would encourage you to check out our podcasts anytime. But in particular, today, listen to the podcast of this morning's Kid of the Week. Every Tuesday morning, right around 6:40, we talk to a Kid of the Week from our friends at Allstate. And this morning, a young girl named Maddie, 17 years old, about to enter her senior year at high school, was on. And I don't remember, in doing Kid of the Week on the station for most of the last 15 years, I don't remember ever having a Kid of the Week do more than this kid has done. And continues to do.
She's unbelievable.
So check that podcast out. Remember, wherever you get your podcast, you can find The Steve Cochran Show. including WGNRadio.com and the WGN Radio app. We need a break before the bottom? We'll do that right now. We'll come back with a big story next on CLTV and 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fire, wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Hee-haw! Oh. 9:41. Our friend Orion Samuelson joins us. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Hope you are, too.
Well, I got issues, but no issues that you're not aware of. You've known me for a long time.
Well, you've got to take better care of your health, young man.
No, I don't mean those issues.
Oh.
I'm talking about emotional issues.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, the knees are what they are. I'll get new ones eventually. I was at Costco looking for knees. I thought maybe they sold a bag of them or something, but not so much.
They don't?
No.
I'm surprised.
They got everything else. I saw a story in Politico I was going to bring up to you, and the headline was about the pullout of the TPP and the destruction it's already doing in rural America. Are you feeling it?
Not yet, no, because the export market is holding pretty strong in the commodities that we're selling. And, of course, got a big jump in beef exports in June when China finally said after about 13 years they would begin allowing U.S. fresh beef to come into that market. And, of course, that's a market that has more middle-class people than we have totally people in the United States. And they want to eat U.S. beef, so not finding it there. We are finding, though, some very strong competition in corn and soybeans from South America. Was a time when we looked at Brazil as our main competitor in the soybean market. But now, because after they take off the first crop in the growing season, they plant corn. And they've harvested a record corn crop this year. And so that comes into the world market, and that is having an impact. So far, I think there are too many questions yet on NAFTA. TPP, we reacted to that quickly in the Trump administration. They said pull out, and we had not even signed in on that agreement yet. But the NAFTA thing, negotiations get underway this month between Mexico, Canada, and the United States on rewriting the NAFTA agreement that Bill Clinton signed into law back in the 90s. That one is going to be interesting to watch because it seems to have worked agriculturally for all three countries. But the manufacturing jobs, they say, have been hurt by NAFTA. So this could be a war between farming and manufacturing, and I hope it doesn't turn out to be that way, but it could.
In the meantime, your health is good, or getting better, I know.
Yes.
And your name came up the other day because I don't remember who brought it up, but somebody was talking about the amazing ability Orion Samuelson had, particularly working with Bob and then with Spike, to sleep during a commercial break for exactly 2 minutes and then wake up. It's almost like magic. You had to, you know, when I was used to fill in for Spike on the show,
right?
I would see it, and I eventually started selling tickets so people could come in and watch it, because O would go away for 2 minutes and come back, and it was almost always like 10 seconds before the last commercial ended. Well, what do you attribute that gift to?
I really don't know, but I'll never forget the one incident, and of course there were many that people didn't think I would take a nap during a two-minute break. But we had a new producer, and that's back in the days when we had an engineer who would turn the knobs, and we had a producer. And so we hit the 12:30 stock market report, Hornblower and Weeks Hemp Hill Noise, and I always did that in the show. Mm-hmm. It was a two-and-a-half-minute thing. And so the minute I hit it, I told Bob Seibel, the engineer, I'm going to take a nap. And I put my head down, and his producer, the producer who was new on the job, said, he's not taking a nap. Yes, he is, Bob said, and at about 10 seconds before the end of the commercial break, yeah, I sat up, and he became a believer.
It's
but
something.
Boy, he sure wasn't.
It's, something to behold, really, and it is a party trick, but it is a great gift. There's an article out that says, There are health benefits to napping that you might not be aware of. Napping can boost your immune system. I guess we probably knew that. A nap can improve night alertness for people that work at night. They recommend absolutely take a nap at work.
Well, you know where I learned it? I learned it from my two bachelor uncles on the farm about 8 miles from our farm in Wisconsin. Every day when they'd have dinner at noon, because dinner was at noon, not in the evening, and they would throw a quilt on a hardwood floor, and they would lay down on that quilt, and they would take a 45-minute nap. And they did that every day without fail.
Yeah, they say 45 is the far end of the spectrum. They
it
say
is.
If you go over 45 minutes, you're actually doing yourself a disservice. It's harder to wake up. It'll be harder to go to sleep at night. A 2007 study in the Journal of Sports Sciences put 10 healthy men through a series of sprints before and after a 30-minute post-lunch nap, and their physical stamina was improved. And that was a 30-minute nap.
If I take a nap, during the day, I always want to be awake in 20 minutes, and I pretty much do that. As Gloria will say, I can sit on the sofa saying I'm going to take a 20-minute nap watching TV and wake me up, and about a minute before the 20 minutes is up, I'm awake. I don't know. It's
a gift.
It is.
And, you do that all the time.
Yeah. It's a gift.
Indeed it is. So, but I tell you what, this has been a good week. Took my first ride in Air Orion this year because I hadn't been up in the plane because the doctors didn't want me flying. And then, of course, my health wasn't such. But flew down to Keokuk, Iowa, drove across the Mississippi to Hamilton, Iowa, to the Western Illinois Threshermen's Reunion. And they celebrated their 50th anniversary of that old-time farming show. Great crowd, great weather, got a good look at crops from the air, not so good north of I-80, but looking a lot better south of I-80. So
the not so good part is the not so good part is what?
Drowned areas, the rains that that hit north of I-80 throughout June and May drowned a lot of the fields, and you see it in from the air because we went down at 4,500 feet and we could see all of the drowned out areas in the middle of the field that you maybe don't see from the roadside as you're driving along that. And let me mention one more thing.
Sure.
This is the time of the year when we have tall corn at four-way intersections in the country. And most of those intersections don't have stop signs. So we've seen some tragic accidents in that area this year. And slow down in these country four-way intersections because with the tall corn, you have no vision of what's coming from the right or from the left. So be careful.
And if it's a four-way stop, just inch forward until you make sure nobody's coming.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, do that without a four-way stop now because of the height of the cornfield. So.
There's an old joke about Minnesota folks. There's tons of farmers in Minnesota, tons of people that listen to Minnesota. You know the phrase Minnesota nice?
Yeah.
You know, four guys stop at a, or four Minnesotans, I should say, come up to four stop signs at a four-way stop. Yeah, they're still there.
You go.
No,
you,
no, go.
You go.
No, you go.
You go.
No, you go. Yeah.
State Fair's on. The Wisconsin State Fair through Sunday. The Illinois State Fair starts Thursday. I'll be down there next Tuesday, a week from today, for Salute to Ag Day.
Andrea and Dave both have questions. Andrea?
Yes, Ori, I have to tell you, we got our Mirai sweet corn.
Oh, man, was that good.
I made it
I made it Sunday night.
Oh, I made it last night or night before.
Who am I kidding? I ate it Sunday night.
I know, right? For a friend who had never had it, and I said, it'll be the best corn you ever had. She was over the moon, loving it, loving it. And she literally said, what? How is this possible? Because you go to...
I don't want to know.
Not
I don't want to know.
Any of the
I
stores,
don't want to know.
But the corn's been so puny lately. What is it about this corn that makes it so plump and so juicy?
Well, Gary Pack, who is the owner of Twin Garden Farms, is where it was developed. And it took him years, and he did 800 crosses of various sweet corn genes to come up with Mirai. And the Japanese, probably his biggest foreign customer. I've been up on his farm when four or five Japanese people who are in the food business in Japan were there. And they were getting the first-hand look at how it's produced. And,
it's tremendous.
So it really is.
Delicious.
It took a while to do it, but it was worth it.
And if you go to TwinGardenFarms.com, you can find a farmer's market that's selling it near you for right. Sure. Just click on it. Dave.
Yep.
All right, big day Saturday, the 35th running, Big O, of the Arlington Million.
I will be there.
Excellent.
You got a favorite yet?
No, I don't, and I probably won't until Thursday because, you know, I haven't been able to go to Arlington as much this year to keep track of the racing industry, but I will be there.
Got a couple of horses from Ireland, horse from Argentina.
Oh, Argentina. Yeah. I don't ever recall a horse from Argentina.
Yeah.
I'm kind of leaning towards three-legged Larry in the seven spot. No? Bad idea?
No, I don't think. You must be looking at the wrong list.
All right, Orion.
There's a horse called Sweet Ride, since you have a Sweet Ride.
Ah, there
White
you go.
Lightning, maybe.
There you go.
Maybe you like
there
that
There you
horse.
Go. All right, Orion, our final piece of the segment here is something new we're doing. No one's ever done this before. I call it five questions.
Okay.
Five questions, all right? Just top okay. of mind stuff. First concert you ever went to?
First, the Ontario High School Band.
The Ontario High School Band. Any idea what year that was?
It would have been back in 1948 or 1949.
All right, and they went on to become AC/DC. Is that accurate?
I became a tuba player.
Oh, you became a tuba player. First date you ever went on, with who and where?
First date, Marie Sullivan took her home from a basketball game.
Oh, took her home. Look at you, smooth player.
Well, I gave her a ride home. That's what we did back in those days. And I'm Lutheran. She was Catholic. And somehow we didn't have a telephone on our farm. But my mother knew the next morning when I got up that I had taken a Catholic girl home.
Is that right?
Lutherans and Catholics didn't mix.
Wow.
Oh, that was a big deal.
That's a rough breakfast.
Yeah.
Of all the years you've done this, is there anybody who you were truly starstruck by when you met them? And I think I know the answer to this, but go ahead.
Well, Paul Harvey.
Oh, Paul Harvey for sure.
Yeah, right.
But he became a good friend. Yes. To you for years and inducted you into the Hall of Fame. Having said that, didn't you have a little thing for Sophia Loren?
Yeah, I did because she was on the Roy Leonard Show in the studio one day.
Hello,
and
playa.
I went in to do my market report, and Roy always introduced me to his guests, and of course he had a lot of them. He introduced me to her. She stood up, put out her hand to shake hands with me. She was wearing a yellow shirtwaist dress that was unbuttoned.
In all the right spots.
In all the right spots, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And we
enough
were the
cleavage
same
there to plant a full field of corn. All right, what about a guilty pleasure? You got a guilty pleasure? Like maybe it's food, maybe it's something you do. It's anything come to mind?
No, not a guilty pleasure. Not really.
No, because you reach a certain point.
I enjoy food, and it's being prepared much differently today than my mother did on the farm. All meat was well done.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, last thing. You can have dinner with any three people, living or dead. Who are the three people?
Who are the three people? Well, Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan, good choice.
And I would love to sit down for dinner with Frank Sinatra.
Reagan and Sinatra. That'd be interesting because they had a little tension between them for a period of time.
They did, yeah. Yes.
And you're missing one. One more.
Well, I guess I'd throw in Mikhail Gorbachev. I met him when he came to America for the first time. After he had started perestroika, you know, the
sure.
change in communism, I met him enough to shake hands with him, but I would have loved to sit down and talk to him because he was an interesting gentleman.
That's a good dinner. Yeah. I'd like to be at that dinner. I'd be your waiter.
Those are great
I would
questions.
Invite you.
Yeah.
Great
yeah.
questions. Did you call Orion a playa?
My playa. He's
okay,
a total
got
playa.
It, got it, got
yeah,
it.
He's a playa. Brought the girl home, said, hey, I don't know if you know me, I'm Orion tuba playa. All right, my friend, say hi to Gloria.
Will do, and have a good week.
See you back after this on 720 WGN.